Okay, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm not a doctor yet. So hopefully, I'm working on tenure. We do things strange at Ohio. So I'm working on tenure. As soon as I get tenure done, we're going to finish up that dissertation. So one thing at a time. So we're getting close. We're going to talk. I got two talks in a row. So we're going to talk about possible causes of soluble reactive phosphorus in Lake Erie. Then we're going to talk about some of the solutions. And I've got quite a few slides, but some of them are just to remind you what the problem was, and then we'll go. So here's our outline. We're going to do some major reported causes. There's been a number of articles in the Journal of Soil and Water. I'm going to highlight the ones that we think are the most important. And we'll talk a little bit about these harmful algae blooms. Climate change and weather is a huge factor. I'm going to talk about that. A little bit about farm size and how we apply commercial fertilizer. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this vertical tillage and compaction, which I think is a major cause of our problem. It's an infiltration problem. And then we'll talk a little bit about our P saturation and some new data that we are working on with the iron phosphorus reduction. So here are the harmful algae blooms. These are the timelines. Every year it seems like we set a new record. 2010 was the absolute worst year we ever had until 2011. Okay, then after 2011, we had the drought, and you can see we didn't have near as much phosphorus. Blue is not quite as bad as red. Went on for a couple years, and actually 2015, we've had tremendous. It may not look it on this one, but it moved it way into the lake. And if you rate it, we now have an index. They're using the index since 2011. On a scale of 1 to 10, we had a 10.5 this year. So just to give you an idea, with the amount of rainfall we had this year, tremendous phosphorus coming off of that. Why didn't we hear it in the news? Because it moved it so far out that it kept it away from some of the intakes. So, and we also did some things to protect those intakes. Here's some of the causes. This has been outlined in the Soil and Water Journal. There's probably 25 different things there. We're going to talk about just a couple of them. The climate change is probably the biggest one. A little bit about some of the changes in cropping system. Fertilizer placement is big. We'll talk about that in the solutions and the timing. We're really hitting on the four R's. We do have a larger farm size. That changes how we put on our fertilizer. And then there's some misconceptions about conservation tillage, no-till. I'll talk about that. The biological changes and some of the things that are going on with our soil test recommendations and vertical tillage. So here's where these harmful algae blooms. It's not only just Lake Erie. You can see there the red colors right there. Grand Lake St. Mary's is huge. We had in parts per million over 2,000 parts per million in the mycotoxins there. So it is a bad problem. So there is something going on throughout the state. It's not just in Northwest Ohio. It's happening everywhere. Major weather is a major factor. And just to give you an idea, if you compare how many major rainfall events, cumulative rain over 2 inches, we had 8 events in 16 years from 82 to 98. From 98 to 2014, we had 20 events in 16 years. In 2015, we had 3 major events, okay? We had some 6 and 7 inch rains in very isolated areas. It wasn't the whole county, but it'd be parts of counties, a lot of 3-4 inch rains, and that's causing a lot of runoff, so that's a major issue. Here's the effect of rainfall size on those surface losses. You know, it's not the small rains that are causing it, it's the big ones. So all these events that are greater than 2, 65% of the discharge is occurring with those large rains, 64% of the dissolved reactive phosphorus or the soluble reactive, and 65% of that total phosphorus load. So it's only 10% of all the rainfall events, but it's the big ones that are really causing them. We're getting more intensity, more duration, and larger number of those, so that's a big problem. If you want to look at these same numbers, rainfall effect from our tile, our subsurface, it's 6% of the rainfall events, 45% of the discharge, 33% of the dissolved reactive phosphorus, and 33% of the total phosphorus load. So this is some of the work that Kevin King has worked on, done a lot of work on these paired watersheds that are in several of our counties. We've helped him get those up and going, and Kevin's doing a great job. My biggest problem with Kevin, I love the guy, but he is an engineer. And I like the data. I think it's the interpretation of the data. And that's where we're going to argue for a long time. So I'll give you my bias, what I think's going on. Historical fertilizer use, what's going on? I'm sorry I don't have it out a little bit further, but the trend is down. We are putting on less fertilizer on these fields. Here's where the fertilizer, where the phosphorus is coming from. Majority of it is fertilizer. Probably less than a third is coming from manure. The most of it is fertilizer. So we do have a few biosolids, but fertilizer is definitely our biggest issue. Are we balancing? And actually, for the first time now, we're starting to come in balance. So what's the problem? Well, one of the biggest issues that we're having is we have done Dr. Robert Mullen did a survey to see how good these labs were at identifying, you know, where the phosphorus was from these samples. And they all did a pretty good job. I think at least 11 out of 12 did an excellent job. There might have been one that was off a little bit, but the biggest difference was what? Who pays for that test and what the recommendation? So recommendations were anywhere from zero to put on as much as you want. Okay, and that's where the real problem is. We're now trying to maybe what we need to do is link those phosphorus tests to our tri-state fertilizer and not over-apply. So some farmers are still over-applying, and that's where we have a big issue. And I want to kind of allude to something she mentioned. It is very difficult, I think, on these very high, especially if you high fields where you have phosphorus transport, that's the fields that we really got to be looking at. If you got transport and you've got high levels, I think we can work with a lot of these other lower fields, even the medium fields, but those high ones are going to be a real pain for us to work with. So here's some of the important surface factors. I'm going to concentrate on that. We'll talk about the commercial fertilizer application, the soluble pea fertilizer, the timing and the placement. These are some things that we're working on in Ohio, the vertical tillage, that farm size, and the larger equipment, and also a little bit on the rotation. So what about no-till? I mean, a lot of people are coming out saying no-till is a problem. Well, 60 to 70% of our Ohio soybeans are no-tilled, 80% of our wheat is, but it's really rotational tillage, so only 6 to 7%. It may not even be that high, maybe closer to 5%. Is actually long-term no-till. So it's really not a no-till problem. It's the problem is that we're doing this rotational tillage, and that is causing some problems. What we're seeing is a compacted zone. Anytime we do this vertical tillage about 2 to 3 inches deep, we're finding a compacted layer there. So if we have saturated phosphorus on the surface and we have this new compaction zone, we're not getting the water infiltration, it either moves off or it goes down through preferential flow and goes right out our tile. So we got to get that water to infiltrate, go through that soil matrix. If we can do that, we can help to reduce this soluble reactive phosphorus. So no-till, I just want to put that out there. That's not really the issue here. And I want to just, Don Rogowski recently came out with an article, says we really need to get our definition straight and understand that there's a lot of differences in no-till and how people are identifying that. What about cover crops? So we're hearing cover crops. And daikon radish are a very popular cover crop. They die off. They leave a big hole. They really suck up the nutrients. And with pea stratification, they have been found to increase phosphorus runoff. We do see them. But we do have other cover crops. We need cover crops that will survive the winter. So that's what we need to find. Commercial fertilizer applications. We have a lot of guys with the bigger size. What's happening? They're putting this on in the fall when we don't have any crops growing, and they're not getting it incorporated is what a lot of people are saying we need to do. But what we really need to do is to inject it, because what happens if I say incorporate to a farmer? They get out the plow. Okay, so we got to be careful. We're now working on new machinery. That gets into the solutions, but we really want to try to inject that soil. So we're trying to get them to put more on with the planter and stay away from this. We're seeing the worst case scenario. I really wanted to show this. We had a case in the fall where they were actually applying fertilizer on top of about a foot of snow. Okay, and that has happened in the past. We now have new rules and regulations that you can't do that. So we do have a stratification problem. Here's some data from Sandusky Watershed. That 0 to 2 inches, you can see it's about 57 parts per million. The average in that 2 to 8 is about 34 parts per million. So what we need to do is, if we can get that phosphorus down into that soil matrix, we can tie it up by the mineralogy and hopefully tie it up by some of the organic matter. This is a four-part stratification. If you look at that, again, it's that very top part, just a little bit more information showing that we do have that stratification going on. Stratification is natural. We do see this in forested land with all the leaves. When you look at any kind of cell, it's 0.2% is going to be phosphorus. But the advantage of the forested areas, we have good soil structure. So when the water is able to infiltrate, we have very high organic matter. That's going to come into when we talk about solutions. This is what I think is one of our biggest issues. We have seen vertical tillage just take off like crazy. And the more vertical tillage we do, again, we're getting that compacted layer. So here's what happened on our bulk density. We're starting to see, you can see there at about 7-8 inches, we can find that plow pan from 40 years ago. Now we're starting to see a plow pan starting to form 2, 3, sometimes 4 inches deep, and they have very little residue on the surface. Sometimes these guys don't even have the 30% residue anymore. So as we're doing that, we get a heavy rain, very saturated. Again, it either flows off or goes right down through the cracks, preferential flow right to our tile. So one of the other things that we're finding with this preferential flow, and this is where our data is coming in at, is that we're seeing that our soils in northwest Ohio are very high, fairly high in iron. 60% of the phosphorus is coming from the Maumee River, and that has a soil type which is called Hoytville, and it's very high in iron. So under saturated soil conditions, anaerobic conditions, the iron is going from the ferric phosphorus to the ferrous state, so it's going from F3 to F2. When it does that, it releases soluble reactive phosphorus. So this iron phosphorus is not available to the plant. For a very short period of time it is, but it's moving with the water. Guess what happens when the soil dries out? It's going to steal phosphorus from probably any calcium or any remaining phosphorus is there, tie it back up, and we can see that color change in the soil. So this is something that we think that we need to be working on, is try to get away from those saturated soil conditions. So here's kind of a summary of our major factors. Weather is by far our biggest issue. It has changed. Peat stratification, it is occurring, but it is also a natural problem. But I think one of the things that we're doing is, if we can inject it, not incorporate, inject it, that will help. But also we got to avoid doing that vertical tillage, because that vertical tillage is causing that soil to be compacted, and that's causing some of those other problems. We are seeing, we're investigating this soil microbes. We're working with a researcher from Eric Dubinsky. We're trying to get some more information. He has verified that this does happen in the tropics. And he's trying to verify now with some research that it is these soil microbes and iron reduction that's causing a major problem. And we're also looking at some of these commercial surface applications. Again, that is a huge thing with the bigger size of our farms and also our crop rotation. We have very little wheat anymore in our rotation. We're getting a lot more corn and soybeans. Wheat just hasn't been profitable. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to look at finding something, cover crops to maybe help that. So that's basically what we're looking at. So I don't know how I'm doing on time. I did that pretty quick. You're good. You're fine.